Well, you read that right. It finally happened. Instagram flagged one of our videos for sensitive content. I'll get into that on this episode. Also, we put out a graphic discussing broadheads, fixed blade versus expandable, the age-old debate of broadheads. I'm going to talk about some of my takeaways from that, where we shared that. And then we had a video recently of a buck that I shot 2 years ago that was going around, and I want to kind of give a little bit of an explanation on that. So that's what I'm going to get into on this episode of the RHO podcast. Appreciate you joining me. It's just me this week. It's going to be a little bit shorter of an episode probably, but I did want to get one out since we missed last week. We didn't have a guest here the last couple weeks, obviously. Just me today. We didn't have one last week, so going to try to start getting some more guys on board. As I've said before, scheduling's super difficult, especially, you know, we're trying to get guys that are interesting, we have good conversation with, and those kind of people are busy, and we're busy too. So schedules don't always line up. We got some people in the works, we got some stuff going on, so stay tuned for that. Make sure you're subscribed if you're on YouTube. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if that's where you like to listen. That way you'll know when those come out. But like I said, I'm going to get into the Instagram stuff today, the broadhead debate, and then that buck video that we just recently shared. I'm going to start with the broadhead debate. And this is one that we haven't really tackled a whole lot on the podcast just because it's something that so much, in my opinion, personal preference. And it can make, I mean, it's kind of like politics. You're going to make half the people mad and half the people happy, no matter which side of it you fall on. And I've had a lot of different experiences with each kind of broadhead, but I'll get into that. The reason I wanted to talk about it is because I thought, why not? It's the off season, get people thinking about hunting. Posted a graphic on Facebook and Instagram, did really well on Facebook as far as interactions and comments and stuff go. Just asking that, which do you prefer? Do you prefer fixed blades or expandables? And literally one of the first comments I got was a guy said, why even start this? And I replied to him, I said, people have a right to their own opinion. They don't have to be jerks about it and argue. And to my surprise, because online we know how that goes sometimes, people were respectful for the most part. I think there were probably a couple guys on there that were kind of being donkeys, but other than that, like, it was pretty good civil conversation when there was conversation, or guys just commenting, hey, this is what I like because of this. This is what I like because of that. Haven't really dove into like the exact numbers on it, and I might do that still. So this is like as far as how many guys said fixed blade, how many guys said mechanicals. And I might do that at some point just to see. But it feels like this is just going to be kind of my takeaways from a broad observation. It feels like it was fairly split. So like half the people seem like they like fixed blade, half the people seem like they like mechanicals, which is kind of what I expected. I didn't really figure it would go hardcore one way or the other. If I had a lean, I would have guessed that more people were on the mechanicals than the fixed blades. But I think a certain demographic swayed that, and I'll talk about that here in just a second. But for the most part, you know, some guys are just going to post fixed or mechanical, which is fine. That's what I was asking. But other guys would give their reasoning, right? And there was a lot of good reasons on both sides, and it's just what you would think. It's some stuff that we've discussed before even. But like with the fixed blade, it's not going to fail, right? That's why a lot of guys shoot fixed blade, because it's simple. It's not going to fail. Kind of what I've always said about it is you're always going to have some blood with a fixed blade. It may not be a ton. It might be just a little bit, but you're always going to have some blood. With a mechanical, you might have just buckets of it. And you could get that with a fixed blade too if you hit an artery, a heart shot, of course. But with a mechanical, sometimes you can get just buckets of blood, but other times if you have a failure or something, you might not get any blood, right? And obviously there's exceptions to both of those, but that's just kind of a way I've kind of described it as far as the consistency of the broadhead. And I think a lot of guys echoed that as far as what they thought of fixed blades. Like, that was a lot of the guys' reason. They want to know that thing's open when it leaves their bow, and it's going to do what it's supposed to do. It's not going to cut a giant hole like a mechanical, but it's going to do the job. Also, you know, you have a better chance up front with a fixed blade. You have a better chance farther back with a mechanical, and that was kind of some reason as well. Most of the guys that were on the mechanical side were just what you'd think. They fly better out of the package. A lot of guys, I think, get away from the fixed blades or don't like them because they don't fly right out of their bow, because you have to tune your bow to the fixed blade broadhead. So it's a little bit more difficult to practice if you don't want to shoot your broadheads into targets all the time, because it's hard to get your field points to fly exactly like your fixed blade. And while your mechanical is still not going to fly exactly like a field point. It's going to be a lot closer, right? Because the profile is different. So it's going to fly a little bit different, especially given if there's any wind or anything like that. But it's going to be a lot closer, a lot easier to tune your bow to it, a lot easier to get accurate quickly, and, you know, at a farther distance. I think we talked to, I think it was the VPA podcast. We were talking to Ryan about that, and he said, you know, at 100 yards, eventually that fixed blade broadhead is going to start planing where a mechanical is going to fly true through pretty much the whole flight. So if you're super long range, like mechanical might be, you might lean that way. However, one thing that I thought was interesting, this is what I mentioned a second ago about this certain demographic, is I shared this in a couple of Western hunting groups on Facebook. And those guys, I think a higher percentage of them, a considerable percentage, were fixed blade guys. And maybe that makes sense because of the animals out there being larger, like mule deer, generally a little bit bigger than whitetails. Elk, obviously bigger than whitetails. So they're wanting the heavier fixed blade for the penetration. Yeah, maybe they're taking farther shots. But like I said, if you get a fixed blade and you tune your bow to it, you can shoot at 60, 70 yards, no problem, and not have issues with it. But I thought that was interesting that the Western guys, it seemed like most of them lean more towards the fixed blade for a lot of the reasons that I just talked about. But I think that overall kind of brought everything back to center, whereas had I not put it in those groups, it probably would have leaned more mechanical because I think a lot of whitetail guys like mechanicals. And probably some of that's marketing too, because a lot of the big whitetail hunters that we see on TV, you see on YouTube, are mechanical shooters, whether it's Rage or Schwackers or you name it, G5s. A lot of the more popular guys are shooting mechanicals. I'm sure they pay the most money. I'm not saying they wouldn't shoot them anyway. I'm just saying they have the most marketing dollars. So it would make some sense whether they're better or not. You can talk about bows the same way or anything, really. Camo, if it's marketed well, it's going to have more people on board with it, right? So I think that probably would have something to do with it as far as the whitetail hunters go. But it was still not as lopsided even in those groups as I thought it might be. So it was really interesting to see just how many people actually still prefer a fixed blade. A lot of guys talking about shooting muzzies still, which I really like. A lot of guys talking about, you know, just the three blade. There weren't as many of the single beveled people that I thought might be in there commenting, because that seems to be super popular. Obviously, the guys like the Hunting Public are making that really big. We talked, again, going back to that conversation with Ryan, he talked about those heavier heads becoming more and more popular. They clearly have something to do with it. So I didn't see as many of those as I thought I might, but overall, it was pretty balanced. And me personally, like, I've had mixed results with both. Oh, like the overall consensus with everybody, I would say, on these comments and stuff was a well-placed shot is going to do the trick no matter what you're shooting. Of course, that's the case, right? If you hit them and double lung them, doesn't really matter how many blades you got or how big the cut is, they're probably going to die. Now, if you shoot them with a 3-inch broadhead versus a 7/8, you might get a better blood trail, but they're still going to die, right? So obviously, shot placement is key, but you can't always make that happen. The difference between being able to go out there and shoot at 60, 70 yards on your target and hit the bullseye every time is different than shooting on a live animal, because things happen, right? You can't plan for everything that that animal might do. Even if you think it's the perfect shot in the perfect situation and you think you hit it really good, something can happen in there, whether it's a deflection off a bone, whether its leg moved just a little bit, whether that thing rolled forward just a hair and caused things to be different. So many things can happen, whether duck and arrows especially. So many things can happen on a live animal that you just can't always plan for the perfect shot. And again, that's where I go back to, it just depends on which you would rather have. Would you rather have a better chance farther back on the animal or farther forwards on the animal? There comes a certain point where it doesn't matter what you're shooting. If you hit them far enough back in the flank, you could be shooting a 3-inch head. You're probably not recovering that deer. If you hit dead solid leg bone on a big buck, it doesn't really matter what you're shooting. Most likely that deer is going to make it, right? So there's limits to each, but in my opinion, you just kind of have to decide what you'd rather give up or what you would rather prepare for, right? And I've shot a lot of different heads on a lot of different arrow setups, and I've had good and bad with both of them. And that's part of the reason, like, we've never really got into this debate real heated, just because me personally, I have seen, and I know, like, the other guys have stronger opinions on it than I do, but me personally with shooting everything from a two-blade expandable, rear deploying, front deploying, three-blade expandable, same way, rear or front deploying, different mechanisms, shooting three-blade, four-blade, two-blade, fixed-blade broadheads, bleeders, no bleeders. Like, I've shot all that different stuff, lots of different brands, almost any kind of configuration of a broadhead you could try, I've tried it, and I've killed deer with pretty much all of them, and I've lost deer with a lot of them, too. I can think of, you know, almost every broadhead I've shot that I've had something go wrong, because you shoot enough, and I'm not like some big deer slayer, but you shoot enough animals that at some point you're going to run into that, and the more you shoot, the more times that's going to happen. You can try to do everything the right way and practice as much as possible and wait till that deer gets to the perfect spot, and you're still going to lose some, because like I said, it's a live animal. They have a say in it also, right? So with everything that I've shot, I've just had so many mixed results. I've shot deer with fixed blades that have bled like crazy and died in 20 yards. I've shot them with expandables that have done the same thing. And on the flip side of that, I've shot them with both that have not bled much and made it and not died, at least where we recovered them. It's just, and everything in between, right? Little bit of blood and found them, little bit of blood didn't. All that different kind of stuff I've seen with every type of broadhead I've ever shot. So that's why I don't get into it a whole bunch. But I did think it was interesting, and it was a fun conversation to get out there and get people thinking about hunting and what they're going to do for the upcoming season. And I'll have a little bit more on that here at the end of this too. But the big thing I wanted to talk about on this episode was what I opened with, and that's Instagram flagged one of our videos as sensitive content. So if you follow us on social, and if you don't, check us out, Ridge Hunter Outdoors. That's on Instagram and Facebook, the two we use the most. I don't really use X. It's not really friendly for, I shouldn't say not friendly, it's probably the most friendly for like the content. But there's not a lot of hunters that use it, I guess. It's just not as big as Instagram and Facebook. It's so much more visual on those two platforms, I guess, and hunting's a visual thing. So that makes sense, I guess. So we use Facebook and Instagram the most. It's Ridge Hunter Outdoors. And I had posted a reel on both of those platforms. And you might have saw it. If you do follow us, you probably did see it. It was our highlights from our turkey hunts over the past 2 years, which Instagram evidently thought was too violent because, you know, we just kill so many birds, I guess. We're just so great at it. But they flagged it, right? And if you guys have not seen that, basically when you're going through your reels, if ours pops up, if that particular reel pops up, it'll say, it'll have like an eyeball with a cross through it, and it'll say this video has been hidden due to potential sensitive content or something like that. And then you have to hit whether you actually want to see the reel or just move on. So it's really bad for engagement and views because it doesn't count as a view as soon as it pops up. And a lot of people probably are like, ew, what's this? And they just keep scrolling because they don't even think about it. Well, in reality, it's just a video of us shooting turkeys. I think there's 7 shots, and one of them's a miss, but there's 7 shots in that 30 seconds or something of us killing turkeys, and that was too much for him. It probably didn't help that I put the intro as like a advisory warning saying some gobblers were harmed in the making of this video, and I used that because it was the intro to the compilation video that we put out. So this short was, I made a reel from our YouTube video that we put out, which you guys should also go look at. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can find it easy. But it's Ridge Hunter Outdoors on YouTube if you're not watching right now. And I just made a compilation. It's 8 turkey hunts in 10 minutes. So it's every turkey hunt we've been able to film from the last 2 seasons of spring strutting. And I put it all into one 10-minute video. And the beginning of that, I made this warning thing because I thought it was kind of comical. And that's how the video starts. So when I took the reel, there's like this highlight at the beginning of that 10-minute video, and I just made the reel from the beginning of that video. So it has this like advisory warning. And I don't know if that's what Instagram picked up or if it actually picked up us shooting the turkeys, because we've put stuff on there before, reels where we've shot them, shot turkeys, and shot deer. So I'm guessing something in their AI picked up the warning and flagged it as sensitive content. But I look for that stuff to get more and more common. I know it's happened to people already. If they're showing stuff that like they deem too graphic, whether it's the actual shot of the animal or the recovery or the blood trail or something like that, you'll see it get flagged sometimes for being too graphic. And when that happens on YouTube, it's like a death sentence for a video because they will flag it as mature content, and then it doesn't, the algorithm won't pump it out anymore. It won't suggest it to people. You actually have to go find that video. So it's like the worst thing that can happen to a video other than it getting taken down on YouTube is it for it to get flagged as mature content. And sometimes that happens with hunting content. And that's kind of the bigger point. This stuff happens on socials and YouTube quite a bit. Fortunately for us, Carbon TV is a good place where we can post, you know, anything hunting related, and we're not going to have issues with it because that's what they do. And that's another reason, like, I'm really glad that we're on there, because even if something would happen with all our other content, we'd still have a place to put it up. But we do rely on the YouTube and obviously the social media as well for our viewership to be able to keep doing what we're doing, right? Like the camera equipment and the time and the studio equipment and actually being out there and being able to film stuff, all the stuff that we do, like there's a price on it, right? So we have to have as many viewers as possible to be able to sell that to advertisers in order to try to make money. I shouldn't say make money, to try to generate some capital to put back into it to make it a better product ultimately. Like that's what we've been doing so far. So Carbon TV right now is not enough by itself to for us to be able to do that. So the social media and the YouTube really helps. It really helps our numbers because there's a lot of people who will see our stuff on socials that won't necessarily see it on YouTube. There's a lot of people on YouTube that aren't on Carbon TV and vice versa. So it's nice to have all those different avenues to put content out. And the scary thing is that, I don't know if it's scary, but the thing is, this happens a lot on YouTube. It happens a lot on socials. So if we just get taken down and banned, then we've lost everything. And that's why I had planned, and I talked about it on a separate podcast, I planned on putting all of like our Fall Pursuit and Spring Strutton show on their own channel on YouTube, the Fall Pursuit channel. But recently I decided that for now, I'm just going to keep everything on Ridge Hunter Outdoors. And that way you'll be able to find everything in one spot. So we'll have all the same content that's kind of different from those, but the shows will still live there. And there's also a bigger following, a bigger subscriber base there. And I feel like I don't want to try to start building something new at this point because we put so much work into the shows. I want to give them as good of a chance as possible to be seen by as many people. Because I do think we have good shows and we put a lot of work into them. And the guys do a lot of work as far as getting film and hunting and stuff. So I want to try to put it out there to as many people as possible. If there ever does come a time, though, where YouTube does start flagging our stuff and they do start taking it down, then that's when everything, I'll just go ahead and move to Fall Pursuit. It's all set up and ready now, at least, so it'll be an easier transition. But that's why I did that, because I knew this kind of stuff would happen. And that'll give us a place to at least put the shows to where we can still get some, even if they demonetize that channel, at least we can maybe still have a revenue stream from Ridge Hunter Outdoors channel. And then anything on the Fall Pursuit channel would be for our partners or for viewers and like stuff like that. And with that said, even if we are monetized on YouTube still, and let's say that does happen and we get demonetized, we really rely on you guys, the viewers, for support, whether that be like buying hats or shirts or food plot seed off the website, or just supporting our partners like Rodney or Rax. And I guess now would be a good time. If you guys are interested, Rodney Hawkins is a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Lands. So if you're looking for some ground to buy, looking to get into that, or even if you're looking to get out of it and sell some, he's your guy to talk to. It's 618-925-3153 is his phone number. He's also got RG Outdoors, which is like a outdoor shop. He's got game cameras. He's got e-bikes. He's got products from Radix, hunting stands, blinds, all kinds of stuff. So you can call him for that stuff, too, if you're in our area. And then Rax Big Game Supplements. It's minerals, protein blocks, feed. You can check all that out at raxmineral.com. We do have a discount code there. It's full draw, all caps. That gets you 15% off of that. And you can also find local dealers on the website too. So, but we rely on you guys. Back to what I was saying. We rely on you guys supporting us through them, through our partners, and letting them know that, hey, we heard about you on the Ridge Hunter Outdoors podcast or Fall Pursuit or Spring Strutton. And then, you know, anytime you buy a hat or a shirt or something, that helps as well. That directly goes back to us, so we really appreciate that, and that's a big thing. Because if this stuff does happen, and like Even if it doesn't, if we're still getting some revenue from YouTube or socials or anything like that, or partnerships, it's still not kind of enough to do what we want to do to scale. So anything you guys do like that, we really appreciate it and really helps us. But also, not even spending money, not even sending us money and getting a shirt, just sharing our posts and videos on social media, liking the stuff on YouTube, commenting on like social posts or YouTube videos, leaving reviews on Spotify and Apple, that really helps as well, because that pushes when we get more good reviews in Apple Podcasts and Spotify, it pushes us up in their suggested, in the algorithm to be suggested to more people. So more people find it, the more people that watch, the better things get, right? It's kind of what I'm talking about here. And same thing on commenting on social posts, liking, sharing. Share the YouTube videos, share the Fall Pursuit videos, all that kind of stuff really helps us out. It doesn't even cost you anything. So, you know, just in case if something does happen and we do get flagged more and more often, and I don't know how that works, like on Instagram, now that we've been flagged once, they might have like a hawkeye on us looking for more stuff to flag. So it could be happening more often. I hope not, but it could happen. And that's where we really rely on you guys to help support with just that kind of stuff. Like I said, it doesn't even have to be spending money. It doesn't even have to be going to our partners. It can be just sharing our stuff and getting the word out there. And that really helps a bunch. So if you guys want to do that, if you can do that, take the 2 seconds to do it. We really appreciate it, and it does help. Really helps a lot. And we want to say thanks to everybody that does already do that, because a lot of you guys do, and that's how we've been able to grow to this point where we're at right now. So much appreciative of that. The last thing I want to hit, and I'll try to keep this short, because I talked about the whole hunt back on episode 104, so it's been a minute. This was, like I said, 2 years ago. But you guys, again, if you follow us, you might have seen the reel that I shared recently of a buck that I shot with an arrow kind of glanced off of him. And I put on the title of the video that arrow bounces off buck, because that sounds better than the arrow deflected off of a buck. Some guy commented that it didn't bounce off of him, it deflected. Well, no joke, Sherlock. It sounds better, though. It's a better title, rolls off the tongue better if you say bounces off buck, right? So anyway, semantics, I guess. I recently posted that from where I'd re-edited that hunt, because originally it was a part of a 30-minute episode of Fall Pursuit Season 1 where that hunt was on, and then a hunt where Nate missed the 6x5. They were all together on the same episode because it happened within 24 hours of each other. But I thought that would be a good one as a standalone hunt on the channel, just because it was kind of crazy what happened. And there'll be more of those coming out too. I'm going to start doing that with more of our hunts that were maybe got lost in the shuffle of an episode, or like in the middle of one or something, and just kind of highlight stuff. And it gives us some more content to put out too that we've already filmed. So it just makes sense to do that. But anyway, back to this hunt. It was so crazy kind of what happened that I made a reel out of it too and shared it around. And it did really well on YouTube and on socials. And there was a lot of comments on it. A lot of people saying it was a bad shot, or I had a few people say my arrow setup wasn't good enough. I'm not sure how they knew that out of the 14-second video. I was shooting at that time the G5 Mega Meat 125 grain, a full metal jacket, Easton arrow, I believe the 6mm. I was at about, with a lighted nock, like right around 525 grain setup, so not light by any means. Not super heavy like some of these setups you see, but not light by any means. And I'll agree with the people that said it wasn't like the best shot, because it was not the ideal shot. And if you watch the whole video, you can see, and I even say it in that video, if that deer takes 2 more steps, I've got brush in my way, and I've got limbs in my way in that tree, and he's just gone forever. Like, that would have been it. I'm in that situation, though, given those same circumstances, I would take the same shot, because I have the confidence that I can make that shot. And I don't feel bad about where I hit that deer, because I still believe that that arrow should have buried in him, but something happened, like I was talking about earlier, that you just can't plan for. And whether it caught the backside of his front leg when he kicked it back, whether that broadhead was already open, someone commented that, there was definitely a possibility. Maybe it was already open partially when it hit him, and it just kind of glanced that thing, kicked it out. Maybe if I'd had a fixed blade, who knows, it might have been different. I'm not sure. But regardless, I would take that same shot again. I don't have to because I cut those limbs out of the way so I can let them get dead broadside down there. But I would definitely shoot the same shot again because, like I said, I'm confident in my ability to take that shot, and I feel like it is an ethical one because the tracker that we had come, he told me when he saw the video of it, he was like, that's one of my favorite angles of an arrow going through a deer because you do get potential of two lungs. You get the front side of one and the back side of the other. But even if you just get one, you're getting lungs, liver, and guts coming out the back side of them. And who knows what it's cutting on the backside too. There's a lot of arteries that run through there. So it's an absolutely lethal shot if the arrow does go through them. This one, we're not really sure what happened. You can watch the full video to kind of get my thoughts on it and kind of see the results of everything. But ultimately, why I say I would do that again is because my goal out there is to shoot and kill a mature buck. So if I have one in bow range and a shot presents itself that I think is ethical and good odds that I'm going to be able to make that shot and efficiently kill that deer, I'm going to take the shot. I'm not going to let him walk by at 30 yards and then later think, man, what would have happened if I would have tried to shoot that deer? Because that's what I'm out there for. I'm not going to take stupid shots at 85 yards in the wind blowing through some brush because that's all I want to do. No, but if I think it's an ethical shot where I can efficiently kill that deer in a humane way, in the quickest way possible, where I can recover him, I'm going to take the shot, especially on a buck that I'd never seen before and probably would never see again. The neighbors had pictures of him that either the night before or that morning. First time they'd seen him, it was the first time I'd ever seen that deer. So it's definitely one that was just in there for the rut. He was on that doe, a bonus buck, we like to call him, like private property guys, you'll hear him talk about that a lot, where they kind of know the bucks on their property, but then you get a bonus buck that shows up in the rut, and it's one you haven't seen before. And those are the best kind to shoot because you can put your tag on them if they're a mature deer, and then your other ones get to grow another year, right? So it was a bonus buck that had come in. He gave me what I felt like was a good enough shot to take, and it just didn't work out. And sometimes that happens. I said it earlier. You can't plan for everything. The animal gets a say in what happens too, especially when you're talking about bow hunting. But 100%, I feel like that was an ethical shot. It's one I would take again. I still to this day can't tell you exactly what happened on the shot and why that arrow didn't go in him and didn't kill him. But it is what it is. I've seen that happen. There's a big famous video of it happening to Michael Waldell at a quartering away shot. Like, he shoots. Everybody loves a quartering away. You'll get hate if you shoot him a quarter and two, obviously. But quartering away, he had the same thing happen. That arrow hit and deflected off that deer, and it didn't end up killing it. And you just sometimes you don't know what happened. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't take that shot again or it wasn't a good shot. It's just one of those things that's going to happen in bow hunting. So I wanted to kind of hit on that real quick just because it was something that was out there and there was a lot of comments on it. And I do thank everybody for commenting. Even if you're negative or whatever, I appreciate the interaction. And it's fun to do that kind of stuff and be able to share it and have people see what we're out there trying to work hard to bring you guys and hopefully some entertainment. But that's all I got for this week. Again, thanks for the support, watching, subscribing, sharing, all that kind of stuff. It's much, much appreciated. And we will catch you guys on the next one.